First John chapter 2, 15 through 17. First John is right before Second John. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now we studied that passage last week. But as I was thinking about it, for me personally, before I was a Christian, this is a description of me. I was in the middle of the world system, living for this life, whatever you can get out of this world. And now I'm here this morning. I don't love the world. I don't want to succumb to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. I am saved. I am Christian. I am believer. And I just thought about that passage for me. And I hope that you can say that for yourself. I no longer want to have the flesh rule over me, or the lust of my eyes, or the pride of life. And so, God has given us provision for that by giving us the Holy Spirit, so that we are now in a position where these things do not rule our life. Now this morning we're going to move on to the next passage, verses 18 through 23. The subject is Antichrist. And the reason John wrote this passage is because these Christians were being bothered by the very thing he's writing about. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made known that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now there's probably no subject in Christianity which is more confusing today than this idea of Antichrist. And there are many people who do nothing but spend their time trying to think of a person who will be Antichrist. So it's very important that we have this teaching, a solemn warning. Now, the problem that these Christians face was the error known as Gnosticism. And if you have opportunity to do any reading about it, do it. Because so much of the New Testament is opposed to the error of Gnosticism, which is basically being proud of human wisdom, denying the truth of God, and resurrecting our own religion or gospel. So John is refuting that. So let's get into the subject, Antichrist. By the way, the The outline you have on the back of the bulletin is not for this message, so ignore what's there and let's go with this. Could I just tell you a little bit personally about what happens? After church, I have lunch on Sundays and I go home. And I give final touch on the message for next Sunday, that Sunday afternoon. Through the week, I meditate on that and gels. Yesterday, I was restless about the message I had prepared, which was not in this passage. So this morning, I prepared this message from the passage we were supposed to study anyway, and I have a peace in my spirit that this is what God would have for us to study this morning. So I just thought I'd let you know what goes on sometimes with a pastor in trying to discern what is right. So I'm confident that this is for us this morning and that it will be helpful and beneficial to us. A question then. What is Antichrist? That is serious. Imagine being Antichrist. That spells hell. Well, Jesus said it this way. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not for me is against me. So generally we could say that Antichrist is unbelief. Every unbeliever is Antichrist. Now they can be nice human beings. They can dress well and smell good and say nice things. But if they are not for Christ, they are against Him. We need to know that. In John's day, he said, even now, many antichrists have come. So it's not a thing we just look for in the future. Like the people who peddle prophecy would have us believe. That being true, in our day there are many antichrists. And those who are in leadership teaching positions are against us. He who is antichrist is also anti-Christian. Now, just for a little bit of prophecy, there will be something in the future regarding Antichrist. There are many who believe that it's a person. There are some who believe that it's a movement or a group. My own view of that is that there have been men in history in the past who could qualify as the Antichrist. Some of them during the Roman persecutions of the Caesars and so on. Nero and Diocletian and those Christians who suffered. One man, a Persian ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes, qualifies to be, quote, the Antichrist. We'll look at a passage in a while in Revelation 13, which speaks a little bit more about that. So I believe that it has been fulfilled, and yet there is something future yet to be fulfilled. Well, what about Antichrist and the church and the Christian thing? Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 of Antichrist in his day. Paul spoke about Antichrists in his day. and John. And we know that's occurring today, so antichrists get into the church community without being Christian and deceive many. Well, let's look from this passage in John about some characteristics of those who get into the church and Christian community but are not real Christians, but they are antichrist. Verse 19. Well, let's read 18, little children. It's the last hour, and as you have heard that the antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made known that none of them were of us. True believers remain faithful to Christ through persecution, through suffering, through hardship, through many things. Now, I have seen lots of this happening. I have seen men come to the church, apparently respond to be Christian. And they come, and because of personality and certain leadership, they give glowing testimonies. And they join the committees, and they worm their way into leadership. And oh, aren't they wonderful? 6 months later, they're back in the old, immoral lifestyle they had before. It's hard to discern exactly what's happening when it's happening. But when you look back, you pick up certain things about them that just didn't ring true. So, what is the characteristic of antichrist in the Christian community? They don't stay. They went out from us. Secondly, they are liars. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? To say that Jesus is not the Christ is a lie, because he is. And antichrists are liars. Thirdly, they are deniers. He is antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. We must never deny Christ. Fourthly, they are false teachers. Now this is made known in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is one of the chief passages regarding prophecy, and it's the words of Jesus. And he talked about signs in the sky and different disturbances and physical things. He also mentioned many false teachers, false prophets are coming. Antichrists are false teachers, New Age people, false teachers. In the fifth place, they are deceivers. Jesus said they'll come and they will deceive many. And I don't know of a day since I've been a Christian when there has been so much deception as there is today. People going to everybody that comes to town that toots a loud horn Mm-hmm. And they flock from one teaching to another, never settled. They're deceivers. And how do they deceive? Well, they look good. And they sound good. I heard a man last night on television who just sounded wonderful. How you could have the happiest life you could ever think about. The nicest word I can think about it is that it was baloney. It sounded good. And they carry Bibles. You know, they're not going to come with something else. So these are some characteristics. And let's get into some further signs or thoughts about Antichrist. I mentioned Matthew 24, and you should go home and look at that passage today. For us this morning, let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, we learn some things presently and also about the future. Now, I do agree with some of those who see the Antichrist as a movement. I also agree that it is a personality, a personification of evil through our Antichrist. There's just too much scripture to deny that. Chapter 13, verse 1, and this is the same John who is writing the letter of 1 John. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. This is the Antichrist. The symbolism goes this way. The beast is the Antichrist. The dragon is Satan, and then there's a false prophet who is also called a beast. Verse 2, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now this, whoever it is going to capture the minds and hearts of the world, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, I mentioned last week that I thought that we're in a present condition of a leadership vacuum, that there is no great leadership in the world at the moment, which makes the world ripe for some personage to step on the scene of history and speak peace, and be able to solve a temporary peace treaty with Jews and Arabs and so on. We're ripe for that. And he will be so successful that all the world marveled and followed his beast. So, verse 4, they worship the dragon, this is Satan, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. Union there. Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, world ruler. New world order. Globalization, which our present president is pushing. It was granted to him to make war with the saints to overcome them. And you and I may face a day when we have persecution, and we better be ready to be loyal to the death. It will cost the life of many Christians not to deny him. 8. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. One of the main signs of the last days is false worship. You see it happening in churches all over our country, where entertainment is the center of worship. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So John is concerned about the Christians living in his day to understand the matter of Antichrist and to be alert and not be deceived. Today we have so much false teaching and so much deception. Now John also includes in this passage a description of true believers. Let's look at that. Back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John 2, 18, he talks about the true believers. The antichrists are going out so that they will be made known. Then he makes a transition in verse 20. But you, that is, you Christian, you true believer, you follower of Jesus Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One, that is the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. What's the description here? You have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, here's an interesting word. It is presently the chief buzzword of the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. And you'll see their television evangelists pacing back and forth, ranting and raving, talking about their anointing. What does it mean? Anointing means to rub on, to paint, to dab, to smear. You ever hear that about salve? You anoint with salve. Well, reminds me of my mother. My mother had such arthritic pain, our house smelled like Bengay. You ever smell Bengay? It lingers a little. It's like mothballs. And it's a thing you anoint, you smear. It's a symbolic term for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is anointed by and with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to be in the presence of somebody else to have them anoint you. No human being can anoint another human being. It is of God, the Holy Spirit. And you Christians have that anointing. Don't let the present instruction deceive you. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, because you know the truth. First of all, they have an anointing, and secondly, true believers know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You've got to live in your Bible. To live in these days and to face the future, you have to live in the truth. That's why I think it's important here that we cling to our original thought that the truth of God's Word is the center of our being in our church. Now, the next thing is that they acknowledge the Son. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. We do not deny, we acknowledge. We bear witness. We'll tell anybody in this world at the point of a gun or when any persecution that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my Savior and Lord. We acknowledge Him. And those who acknowledge Him have the Father. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Why? One and the same. Did you know that Jesus is the Father? And the Father is Jesus? Well, came to Jesus and said, show us the Father. Jesus said, Philip, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. It's a mystery to us, but there's one God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there is no separation. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. And there are some people who parade around this world this morning saying, oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. No, you don't. You don't believe in the God of the Bible because He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the chief thing we look for today is the matter of Christ. The Gospels ask the question, what think ye of Christ? Every cult and every religion other than Christianity denies Jesus Christ. So here are a few descriptions of the believers. They have an anointing, they know the truth, they acknowledge. Now, I want to turn to chapter 4, verse 1 for just a moment. As John provides us instruction now about living with this truth that is upon us, that we live in the midst of Antichrist and that we face a future of Antichrist, What will he say to us? Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't buy everything you hear. Don't be gullible. Don't be naive. What does he say? Test the spirits. Now that's not physical. That doesn't mean tipping the bottle to try every spirit in the bottle, but it's a spiritual matter. Test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, why did John have to write that? Because some people were saying, oh, we believe in Christ spiritually, but we deny that he was here in the flesh, the God-man, the human and divine person. They deny that. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He who is of God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Don't be surprised if the unbelieving Antichrist world does not listen to your testimony or does not buy into your witness. They will not and they cannot. We are of God. Those who know God hear us. Not just physically, but they catch the spiritual message. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Be alert. Get into the scripture. Meet for prayer. Meet for worship. Put yourself under sound teaching of the Word of God, wherever you think that is. And be thankful that you are not Antichrist. What a rejoicing. We are for him. We are with him. He doesn't need our defending, but we are the light and the salt that he's left here. This then is John's word to the Christians of that day. And this is God's word for us who are here this morning by his predestinating power to draw us here to be together in this passage. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, I'm thinking now of your own heart and what it must be like for you to have created human beings, to have sent your Son into the world to be the Savior of the world and have the world turn against you and become Antichrist. What a tragic thing for them. And how thankful we are this morning that you came with your electing love, your redemptive power, and the Holy Spirit applied the truth of the gospel to our lives. And here we are this morning to say, we love you with all our hearts. We love the truth of your word. And we love each other in the faith of Christ. Help us, dear Lord, in this day and hour, to acknowledge Jesus Christ, to be loyal and faithful to him, and to be well prepared to face any persecution. Help us, we pray, and help us to intercede for those whom we know and love, that you may also touch their lives. This is our prayer in the name. In that name, holy, glorious, wonderful name, sweetest name I know, Jesus, my Lord. Amen.